Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. I've got Don Casero with me. Folks, stay tuned. You'll learn a little bit about what to do with your yard and about some fencing. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. Hey, Don.
Hey, Scott.
I waited until he got his drink right to his mouth to do that. Hey, I want to brag on you for a second before we get started. 2 years ago, almost to the day, I bought my house I'm in now.
Yeah.
And you can contest that did not have a yard, did it?
Not a very good one.
Not a blade of grass. Even.
Not
weeds,
really. It was
even
pretty
some
poor.
Little mesquite trees growing in there.
Yeah.
And Don came in and leveled it all out, scraped it down. I guess added some good dirt.
Yeah.
And then planted some good grass.
Yeah, we sodded it. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you this. My neighbor came up to me. This has been about 3 weeks ago. He said, Scott, he goes, I don't know what you're doing with your grass and your yard, but yours is the only one in the whole neighborhood that's so beautifully green already. So, and that's, yeah. I thought that was a pretty good compliment for you because you're the one who did it.
Yeah, there's a couple of, there actually are only a couple, in my opinion, a couple of grasses that are really, really well suited for our climate and our weather conditions. And I'll tell you what they are. And if anybody wants to ask me later and can't remember the name of it, call me or call you and I'll email it to them. But there's a variety of Bermuda that comes in sod and it's called TIF 419, which is TIF 419 or TIF Tough, and that's an acronym because that grass was developed in Tifton, Georgia. That's not important, but it's really, really well suited for West Texas.
Is that what I have?
That's what you have. It loves it hot and dry. It's what's on the golf courses.
Yes.
The greens at SAC are a different grass, but when you look at those fairways out the golf course, especially, all three of the golf courses, but when you look out there and the grass is just perfectly manicured and it's thick and it's healthy, that's Tif grass. That's Bermuda grass. Another option for us here really is called Zoysia. It's a little more expensive, yeah. And it's also a drought tolerant, good grass for West Texas. Anything other than that, I got to tell you, I'd be reluctant to plant it. I have a lot of people that have St. Augustine lawns, and I get it. People are married to St. Augustine; that's their thing. But in the end, unless your yard situation, as it relates to shade and you know and all that, unless it's perfect, the Bermuda grass the St. Augustine will eventually give you problems.
And freezing,
it loves heavy shade, and if you don't have that, in some of your older neighborhoods, Santa Rita, Bentwood, places like that, we have lots of shade. You can pull that off, but if you have it like in your house, for example, where there's lots of full sun, you can't make it work. It just won't work.
Okay, I asked him, because I asked Don, and this is, again, several weeks or a month ago. I said, Don, I see some weeds in the yard. Do we need to do anything or put anything on it? And your answer was?
There are weed chemicals out there that we can use on the lawn, herbicides, that will kill the weeds and not damage the grass. Roundup is not one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Roundup is a non-selective herbicide, which means it doesn't care what it kills. Anything it touches, it kills. It doesn't kill trees and bushes and such, but any grass or grass-type weeds, it will kill it. So if you're spraying weeds in your lawn, you're good grass and you're spot spraying and you get a little heavy-handed or a little careless, you run the risk of having a bunch
of dead wind blows.
Or the wind blows, which, yeah, and then you run the risk of having a bunch of dead spots out there. There are chemicals that are selective herbicides. They have 2,4-D in there. That's one of the chemical elements or components of it. They go by different various names. You can find them anywhere in town. Any nursery or home improvement store would have them, but they are formulated to go after the weed and not harm the grass. And believe it or not, it works. I don't know how somebody really smart, some scientists have developed this herbicide to know the difference between crabgrass and Bermuda. And I don't know how they do it, but it works. Because you can spray it. You can spray a spot of it. I've done a bunch of it. And you come back and the weed is dead and the grass is not harmed. It's almost like magic.
Is it the green? Is it, you put a green spray in it? Like the blockeries and all that? Is that different?
It's actually blue. I put a blue marker dye in my spray when I spray. Homeowners don't do that. They don't go to that trouble, and that's fine. I do that because it makes a spot on the ground that's blue, and I can see where I've been. If you mix up herbicide and water, it just looks like water. So you may not be able to remember where you've been, and you may overspray or underspray something. So I use the marker dye to let me know where I've been and where I need to get.
And that way the homeowner comes up and goes, hey, Don's been here.
Yes.
So what about, we talked earlier about pre-emergence. What does that do?
Yeah. Pre-emergent is something we use twice a year. That is a granular, well, typically it's a granular, it looks like fertilizer. It's a granular product. Looks like little BBs or fertilizer pellets. And we put that out in the spring and the fall. And that's something that you do to stay ahead of the next crop of weeds, which you will invariably have try to get into your yard. For example, every winter we get winter rains, we end up with winter weeds or spring weeds. The time to put the pre, that's the key part of the word, pre-emergent, is to put that stuff down in the fall. That fall application of pre-emergent that we put down is going to take care of our winter weeds and spring weeds. And then in the spring, we're going to put down, in about March or so, we're going to put down another application, which is going to take care of your summer weeds. And it's not foolproof. It depends on the weather and it depends on rain. But generally speaking, it's pretty effective. The golf course uses it. And, I will tell you, a friend of mine, Brad from Bentwood, he's the superintendent out there. And he told me one time with respect to killing weeds in your lawn, and I've never forgotten this because it's important and it works. The best defense for weeds in your grass is a good, healthy lawn. So I try to tell people, if your weed problem isn't too bad, if you have a few weeds and it's not too bad, don't focus so much on killing weeds. Focus on the health of your lawn, because a good, healthy lawn, especially Bermuda grass or Zoysia or even St. Augustine, will choke out. The grass is competing for water and fertilizer with the weeds, and the grass, especially Bermuda grass, will choke out those weeds as time goes by. You go look at the golf course, any golf course in our town, there's three of them, and you go look at the fairways, you'll find nary a weed in any of them, because the grass is so healthy, it's so thick, it's so dense, it chokes out all the weeds.
Talk to me, and you just say you're at a golf course, because I think I'm probably the world's worst golfer. There's probably a few close to me, but you know, and I hit it, and I leave a big dent in there. So I don't know this. I always have my sand.
Right.
So I go pack it back down and put the sand on it.
Right.
And you see, like you said, the golf courses are so pretty.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm not the only one on the golf course that does that. That sand has to do something. How does that work?
Yeah, when you hit a golf shot and you take a divot out of the ground, it takes a big chunk of the grass out. The roots are still there. The grass roots are still there. All you did was tear out the green part, and it went flying away or whatever. So when you put sand over
not that far, really.
Yeah, well, when you put the sand on that, you're just top dressing that and giving it some relief from the sun and from the elements, and that grass will grow back. If you left it there and didn't sand it, it would probably still grow back. In fact, it would grow back, but it would just look a lot smoother and a lot more manicured if it had a little bit of sand on it.
See, I thought the sand was to help maybe the roots grow easier through the sand than the dirt or something. But
well, that's part of it too. That's why, if you ever notice, I mean, what's the one thing when they work on the greens out there? They aerate them and they fertilize them and they top dress them. They do it a couple times a year. What do they always use? They don't use topsoil. They use sand, because most of the soil out there over the years at the golf course has become full of sand. And sand it drains well, and it's a good medium for growing grass. You know, so that's why when they top dress. Now, if a guy was going to top dress his lawn, he wanted to use compost or topsoil, I'd be good. That'd be fine. But when they're doing the greens and they want them to be perfect and they want to mow them to, oh, I don't know, you know,
barely
five,
there.
Five, 16, I don't know what they mow them to, just a little snubs of grass, then they want sand. They want lots of sand in there, and that's why that's what tells me it's the right thing to use. People ask me, should I use it? I said, well, the golf course uses it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's working for, yeah, I mean, you tell me, they're using it. They say, well, I don't know if sand's the right thing. And hey, if it's working for them, is your yard better than the golf? Well, no. Well, there you go.
Well, one problem, and help me with this, and I see it a lot in Southwest, all of Southwest San Angelo, really.
Yeah.